We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/credit card. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
To be honest, I would put myself in the same category as D-Wade.
Now Artest is jumped over the scorer's table. Artest is in the stands.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
When I go to the writers to tell me who can guard in this league, I'll put a gun to my own head.
Welcome to the RotoWire NBA podcast, presented as always by DraftKings.com. It is Wednesday, September 19th. Nick Whalen here with James Anderson. James, we kind of discussed this on the last podcast. The audio ended up getting cut off, so the listeners haven't heard it. I sit next to you in the office. I notice you have an addition to your ring finger. You got married this past weekend. I was not in attendance at said wedding due to a conflict, but I heard everything went over well. Congratulations. And how was the weekend?
Yeah, you had like a Two Chainz concert to go to, or what was that?
I had a different wedding. Okay. That I was a wedding in which I was standing up. Yep. You invited me to your wedding. You did not ask me to stand up.
So I gave you
a chance to rebuttal.
I made your choice pretty easy.
Yeah, I used my leverage. I said, hey, you want me at your wedding? You asked me to stand up. you refused to do so. So I called your bluff. Right. But everything went well?
Yeah, everything went really, really well. You know, surprisingly well, honestly, given the
shocking, given some of the snaps and Instagram DMs I got from some of our mutual friends and coworkers, it looked like fun was had by all.
Yeah. Everyone kind of, did exactly what you'd expect them to do at such a event.
The wedding I was at, one of my good friends fell into a pond after the reception and ruined his suit, got completely soaked head to toe.
Sure.
So it was a fun wedding before that, but that really put it over the top. Nobody had any water incidents at yours?
Ooh, no, there was no, I mean, there were no bodies of water really for anyone to fall into.
That's your first problem.
We were on the third floor, so theoretically someone could have fallen off the balcony.
That would have been something.
That didn't happen. There were plenty of stairs. Nobody fell down any of the stairs from what I could tell.
What?
Yeah,
I think I made the right choice. Okay, so about 10 minutes ago, as we record on Wednesday afternoon, the The Athletic, as well as Shams Charania. I guess he's with The Athletic now. Yeah. So basically The Athletic, a couple sources, John Krasinski, longtime Wolves reporter, who recently joined The Athletic, and Shams as well, who also recently joined The Athletic, reported that Jimmy Butler has officially requested a trade. This isn't overly surprising, just given kind of how year one went, the kind of internal turmoil that we've been hearing about with this roster, with the coaching staff, with some of the moves they've made. And of course, yesterday on Tuesday, Butler met with Wolves management, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but when a meeting is that public, you know, and you basically announce several weeks in advance that you're calling a meeting to discuss your own future less than a month before the season, typically that doesn't go over all that well. So just to read the primary tweet from John Krasinski, he says, quote, Jimmy Butler has requested a trade from the Timberwolves. League sources tell me and Shams Charania. Butler has given Minnesota a list of 1 to 3 teams with which he is open to signing a contract extension. Similar to the Kyrie situation in some ways, similar to the Paul George situation in some ways, Minnesota is under no obligation to trade him. But, you know, before we started recording here, you said he might actually be doing them a favor in the long run.
Yeah, I think he's doing them a huge favor because I don't think everyone was predicting that he would request this trade. But I also think, you know, if you asked everyone that follows the NBA what the odds are that he was going to resign with the Timberwolves, I mean, I would have put it at basically 0%. I don't think Tom Thibodeau was going to be as, looking that far into the future and trading away the guy that he's kind of staked his position behind. But now that he's told them to trade him, then they can kind of make the right move that they probably weren't going to make anyway. Like I just pictured them winning, 44 games, not trading him, and then him leaving and them getting nothing. That's sort of how I saw it playing out if he didn't do this. So at least this way they get some pieces back for him. I don't think this is a playoff team. I mean, you and I both picked them to miss the playoffs, even with Jimmy Butler. There's no package I could imagine them getting that would make them as good a team as they would have been with Jimmy Butler. So, and now this is something that's kind of also been popping up on Twitter is like, well, if they have to trade Jimmy Butler, then don't they kind of have to get rid of Tom Thibodeau as well? And isn't he the one that's in charge of trading Jimmy Butler? So it's kind of like they almost need to fire Tom Thibodeau before they trade Jimmy Butler so that they can get the best package for the long term and not the short term, because he's clearly coaching for his job anyways, and he would probably opt for a veteran-laden package of just hard-nosed guys that could maybe fight and claw and get them to 42 wins or something like that, whereas they really should be looking for picks and young players.
And they're in such a tough spot because you have one other foundational piece for sure in Towns. I mean, a guy who, even if he doesn't improve defensively, is still a top 20 player in the league for sure. And if he does improve defensively, he could climb quite a bit higher. I mean, Wiggins is its own issue. And we should note that Krasinski followed up his initial report with a tweet saying, quote, I'm told Jimmy Butler's decision had very little, if anything, to do with Towns and Wiggins, more to do with contractual matters. Roughly at the same time he tweeted that, Andrew Wiggins' brother, Nick Wiggins, who recently wrapped up his season with the Canadian Basketball League, quote tweeted the initial trade request tweet and just said, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it has nothing to do with his relationship with Andrew Wiggins.
Well, like who could Krasinski have possibly been speaking with who would have told him, like, yes, it was about Wiggins and Towns? Like, if he was talking to anyone within the organization at all, or even Butler's agent, like, I don't see anyone benefiting from saying it's because of Towns and Wiggins. So you're obviously going to get just BS,
That. Yeah. And, that's not, I mean, if that's the information he's getting, that's what he should report.
Right.
But, it's also important not to just take that as gospel, especially if you're the team. Like, Minnesota, I said at the top, they don't have to trade him. I mean, they kind of have to trade him.
Yeah.
But if you're holding out any hope that you can talk him out of this, the last thing you want going public is Jimmy Butler came to us and said he doesn't like the two other best players on this team.
Yeah. I mean, I think they absolutely have to trade him. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's, you know, obviously this can go two ways. I mean, it can go the Kyrie way where you just get completely, you know, one-sided in terms of the package you get back and things don't work out very well. But, I mean, it can also go the Pacers way where you actually get a good package mm-hmm. and your future ends up looking fairly bright in a year. Right. I mean, the Timberwolves' future is always going to look bright as long as they have Karl-Anthony Towns, but it's really important that they get, I think, players in that mm-hmm. like age range that he can grow with. They can't kid themselves into trying to make the playoffs this year, and they can't kid themselves into trying to contend next year. Like right. they need to surround Towns with guys that are like around his same age that he actually likes the idea of continuing to play with, because the last thing you want is to bring in some more guys like Jimmy Butler who are going to be people that he doesn't really enjoy hanging out with, enjoy playing basketball with, and then he's like mm-hmm. totally gone. Like right now I would say there's a chance that he becomes the first guy to turn down that max offer to leave Minnesota, just because I think things are kind of that icy right now between him and the organization.
Mm-hmm. So Minnesota was a borderline playoff team either way. You know, I think you and I both had them finishing ninth when we went through the playoffs. You had them 10th. I think I had them 9th. I mean, obviously, given this, like even like you said, no matter who they get back, they're probably not going to be a better team. I mean, even in the best case scenario, maybe you add a couple good, you know, 25, 26, 27-year-old guys who can help you, you know, both now and long term. But the accumulation of that is not going to be better than what you're getting from Jimmy Butler. I mean, it took them to game 82 to even get into the playoffs last year. So I mean, in some ways, I wouldn't say it completely reshapes the playoff picture, but in theory, you're knocking kind of one team out of that, you know, 3 through 11 range that we talked about on the last podcast, where all those teams could be separated by 2-3 games. So, I mean, if you're the Lakers, if you're the Nuggets, if you're the Pelicans, even if you're Memphis and you have delusions about making the playoffs, like this is pretty good news for those type of teams, because any sort of chaos with a playoff contender like Minnesota, you know, in theory might open up another playoff spot. So, I mean, this is worst case scenario, I think, for the Timberwolves. Like you said, I mean, the silver lining is maybe you avoid the possibility of finishing 7th in the West, losing in round 1 of the playoffs, losing Jimmy Butler for nothing. But at the same time, I mean, training camp starts next week. The regular season starts in less than a month. And, you know, think of where this team was at, this organization was at last year, you know, when they made the Butler trade. Probably the highest point since they went to the Western Conference Finals by a pretty good margin.
I mean, two years ago, I predicted they would win close to 50 games and get a top 4 seed. So,
yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of excitement. That right. was unfounded excitement, but...
Well, a lot of it is just with how deep the West has been. You know, I think their upside, you know, like 5 years ago, a core of Jimmy Butler, Towns, Wiggins, Teague, you know, would almost be a lock to be a top 3 seed in either conference. And now the West is just so deep that that's just not the case.
Well, and I don't think any of this is Jimmy Butler's fault. I think it's just 2 years ago, I was so much higher on the type of real life player Karl-Anthony Towns was and the type of real life player Andrew Wiggins was. And now, I mean, neither of those guys really play much defense at all. Andrew Wiggins is a negative on offense and defense. So it's none of this is on Jimmy Butler, the fact that things have kind of gone this direction.
Talk about Maple Jordan like that. Okay, so don't look at this, but ESPN Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted out his report of the 3 teams that Jimmy Butler has named. But I want you to guess them before I tell you what they are.
Sure, sure. So Lakers?
No. That was one before we started recording. That was one that I would have thought would be a lock. Lakers are not on this list.
All right, I'm starting over.
Okay.
Heat?
No.
All right, I'm starting over. Knicks?
Yes.
Rockets?
No. I'll give you a hint. One of them's not the Bucks.
One of them's not the Bucks?
No, neither is the other one. The Bucks are not on the list.
Okay. I mean, Celtics?
No, the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers.
So he just kind of wants to have just his own team.
It would appear that way. I mean, the Clippers are going to have a ton of space. The Nets are going to have a ton of space. Right. Like, I think the implication is you add someone else next summer as well.
Right. But he's not like, he's not trying to go push some team over the top. He's going to go somewhere.
He's going
like,
to go.
They're going to win like 35 games this year. Yes. And then he's hoping to add some
Kyrie
guy.
Irving. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think, you're basically, the Knicks are, of those three teams, I think have the most attractive core in place right now, assuming Porzingis comes back healthy, Hardaway, Hezonja, Courtney Lee. Whereas the Clippers and Nets, you know, there's a few younger pieces that you like. Obviously, the Clippers have the two guards.
I like some of the Nets pieces.
Yeah, no, for like, sure, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But they don't have that elite piece. Like, nobody,
I think if you take Porzingis out of the mix, I think it's very even across the board.
Well, I mean, the point is all three of these teams are in extremely attractive markets, especially to a guy like Jimmy Butler. All three of them have the space to add at least one more elite player, whoever that would be, next summer. Interesting that the Lakers are not on there, though. That would have been a lock to me.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's...
The players hate LeBron.
It's just clear. Well, I mean, not... when was the last time a star player tried to play with LeBron? Paul George declined it. Jimmy Butler's declining it. Kyrie declined it. I mean, the last time was Wade and Bosch.
Lance Stevenson, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee. I mean, this is very recent.
So who do you think's the favorite out of those?
Well, I mean, what I was going to ask you is, like, what do these teams offer? Assuming they're interested in Jimmy Butler, which they probably are.
Yeah, they definitely are.
And the assumption here, too, is that he's willing to re-sign with this team long term. So in that regard, it's not an OKC situation where you're just signing him, holding on for dear life that you can keep him long term. Obviously, it worked out for them, but nobody thought it would at the time. Let's start with the Nets, I guess. We'll just go in alphabetical order. Like I said, they don't have like the keystone piece to give up, but they do have a nice collection of young talent, and they also own their future picks, which ironically enough, they could end up trading away in this deal, but you know, they actually control those now as assets.
And we're assuming that Thibodeau is going to be the guy
handling the negotiations.
Handling these.
Well, I don't know who else it would be. Wiggins?
Because it completely changes the type of packages I would expect the Timberwolves to be looking for.
What if they just did like a fan vote on Twitter?
Like, if Thibodeau's handling the negotiations, I would expect him to be like, yeah, give me Damari Carroll and give me Jared Dudley and give me Kenneth Faried. Like, I mean,
right. Yeah.
That would do it. I think. If a competent GM was handling everything, I mean, I think you ask for Caris LeVert. I think you ask for Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell, maybe, even though he's only got 1 year left.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
but I can't picture him going for those guys.
I mean, I think you start with Jared Allen, right? And go from there. I mean, D'Angelo Russell doesn't seem like a big Tibbs guy, although I think him and Karl Anthony Towns are really good friends.
He seems like a big Cat and Wiggins guy.
Yeah, oh, he's a big Cat guy, for sure. I mean, those guys are always hanging out.
Those guys would have a great time together.
But he also seems like a New York guy. Like, he's really...
Sure.
I don't know if he could go back to a market like Minnesota.
I mean, could you play Jared Allen and Karl Anthony Towns together?
Sure. I mean, it's not ideal, but I think you could. I mean, at some point, it just has to be about most attractive package. And the way we're talking about the Nets, maybe they're not the team.
Yeah, I don't think they're the team. Okay. I really think of those teams, it's the Clippers.
Okay, so what if you're the Clippers, what are you willing to offer? Do you put Shai on the table?
I think if you put Shai on the table, that's game over. Like, I think I don't think the Knicks, unless they value Knox as highly as I value Shea, but I just don't see that.
I don't know that the Knicks would put Knox on the table, to be honest. I think in this trade, they should, and you might have to in the end, but I think they'd be very hesitant to do it.
I think they would be really stupid to not put him on the table. But I think you're higher on him than I am. Like,
yes, I think that's for certain.
Gallinari and Shea, does that get it done?
Well, I mean, you need Gal for the contract. I mean, again, Tibbs would probably want Tobias Harris and Patrick Beverley.
I think Harris and Shea is too much to give up.
But you're assuming Butler's going to re-sign.
Yeah, you know? But I don't think, like, I think they could get, they could offer the best package without making it that package.
Okay.
Personally, I mean,
the Clippers have, similar to the Nets, they have, like, a lot of young guys that you like, but outside of Gilgeous Alexander, I don't know that there's, like, this blue chip guy. You know, it's like, yes, and Darius Thornwell was pretty good last year for a second round pick, you know, but, like, he's not going to be the keystone piece in a trade for Jimmy Butler. You know, same goes for CJ Williams and Tyrone Wallace and these guys who played well, you know, because they had to, because
everybody
was hurt.
Maybe you do Tobias Harris and Shea and you get back Butler and like Tyus Jones or something like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, maybe you turn this into a larger trade. It's not just Butler. Maybe you bring back a first from Minnesota. Or you swap first, something like that. And I think, I mean, a first is probably going to have to be included just given the magnitude of the player involved in Butler, but this isn't a situation where you're trading him. If it's one of these three teams, you're trading him into a situation where that team's probably still not going to be very good. So the Knicks, you might not want to give up your first. Cause even with Butler, you're probably, you know, you're a borderline playoff team at best. Right.
I mean, if they only gave up young players and picks, like if they gave up like Knox and a pick or Knox cap filler and a pick, I actually think they like compare that roster to like the Pistons roster. I mean, I think it's fairly similar.
Yeah, fair.
So I mean, if he goes to the Knicks or the Nets, I think that they are right in the middle of the hunt for the 8 seed. If he goes to the Clippers, they are still.
Would that pull either of those teams out of the sucky 7? That's the real question.
Ooh. It's tough because do you include Porzingis into the Knicks when deciding whether they're in the Secchi 7, knowing that he might not play at all this year?
I'm operating under the assumption that he will be back after the All-Star break at the earliest.
Okay. So I think if it just depends on the package they
give. They were pretty sucky with Porzingis, though.
Sure. But I mean, I think it's hard to overstate how much better Jimmy Butler is as a real-life basketball player than any player that's been on the Knicks in like over a decade. Mm-hmm. So I think that it just depends who they give up. Like if they have to give up a young player and a good win now player to get him, they're probably still in the sucky mm-hmm. 7.
Okay, so those are the three teams Butler wants to go to. Those are the three teams in theory that the Timberwolves should be able to extract the most value from. But I mean, as we just laid out, outside of Knox and Gilgeous Alexander, those three teams don't exactly have a stash of A-plus assets that they'd be willing to give up. I mean, are there any other teams outside of those three that might be willing to do a Paul George, you know, and bring Butler in for the year, hope it works out? I mean, the recent history of this, I think, would make more teams, you know, apt to do it. You know, I think the fact that it worked out for OKC maybe pushes another team to take that risk.
Yeah, it's just tough because like a lot of the teams like that kind of fit that bill, like I'm thinking like the Nuggets, the Bucks, like teams like that, the guys you'd have to give up to get him, like it's not like you just get him for nothing, because like if you have to give up like, I don't know, Gary Harris or something to get him, or you have to give up Chris Middleton and, you know, first round pick or something like that to get mm-hmm. him, it makes you better, but does it make you better than the teams you're chasing? Like
nowhere that Jimmy Butler would go would put a team over Golden State to me, unless, you know, Houston somehow gets him and gives up nothing. But even then, I would still take the Warriors.
What if you, what if the Raptors could make it work where they gave up like OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam and like Jonas Valanciunas or something like that to make the money work. Like,
yeah, no, to me, that's more attractive than what the Nets or the Clippers could offer.
Yeah.
And probably the Knicks.
Oh yeah. They could beat those packages. Yeah. Like, they have assets.
No, Raptors,
for sure.
Raptors are very interesting. I mean, they'd basically be doubling down. You'd have Kawhi and Jimmy Butler in the same situation.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a fascinating collection of players.
I like that one a lot. I mean, we always talk about Portland looking to flip McCollum, but I don't think this is a situation, you know, where you'd really, really be like, I just don't see Butler re-signing there is what I mean to say.
Right.
I mean, New Orleans obviously would love to have him. I don't think they have the assets to make that happen. I don't think you'd want to do it and give up Holiday.
Yeah, there's no way.
I mean, Denver did go hard after him 2 summers ago. And so, obviously you had an extra year on the contract at that point, so it was a little less risky. But, I mean there was interest there.
He would just fit them so well.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, say you did like Michael Porter, Trey Lyles, and they just, I don't think they have the salary to make it work, because I don't think they would do Gary Harris to roll that dice. I don't think they would do Jamal Murray to roll that dice.
No.
So, like,
I mean, you could do it with Will Barton's money. Kind of an underwhelming return, I guess.
He's not eligible to get traded yet, though.
Right. Right. So you'd have to wait on that. It's a good point.
But that, yeah, if you could do Will Barton plus like Michael Porter plus like a first rounder,
yeah,
and the Timberwolves would do that, I would just roll that dice, because then all of a sudden you have a crazy starting five.
Yes.
Like, and that would be a starting five that, I mean, you have Millsap and Butler and Harris there to play defense. All of a sudden now you're talking about a potential top three offense and a potential top five defense.
Yeah. That one on paper would be one of the most fun. I like your Toronto idea though. That I'm very intrigued. The Lakers, I mean, the Lakers obviously were fully prepared to do this with Kawhi in terms of trading for him in a contract year. I think there was probably some more confidence that Kawhi would re-sign there now that this list is apparently out via Woj. But, I mean, the reason they couldn't get Kawhi is that the Spurs demanded Ingram and Ball. Minnesota doesn't have that leverage. I mean, would you offer like Kuzma and Hart for 1 year of Butler?
I don't.
Hoping you re-sign
if him? I'm the Lakers and I'm LeBron, I'm just very uninterested since we didn't make his list of teams he wants to go to. Like, we're the Lakers, and you
I'd
don't
be a little offended
here.
If I was
like, yeah, like,
I'd be a little offended if I was Michael Beasley.
Why are we trying to trade for you if you didn't even want to come here with the Lakers?
Trying to scan other teams. I mean, I was surprised Miami wasn't on this list. They
would be extremely aggressive, I think. Like, I think they would do, you know, Josh Richardson plus, like, James Johnson plus, like, Justice Winslow or something.
Bam
like,
in there?
I think they would get incredibly aggressive if they thought they had a chance to re-sign him, because he's a total Spoelstra, Pat Riley guy, and they're kind of going nowhere in a hurry. So, I think they could – I think they're going to make calls and try to see what they can do, but I just don't – I don't see that working.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I was going to suggest Philly, but I don't think you take that risk with him, you know, with Philly not being on the list of potential destinations.
Sure.
And that would probably require giving up Fultz, which I don't think they want to do.
Yeah. And I mean, they're better, like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are just way more winning players than Wiggins and Towns, but maybe, you know, maybe Butler doesn't want to go to another situation where he's like 6 years older than the other two studs on the team.
Right. Yeah. Very confusing list. But this is going to get really, really interesting. I mean, again, they have to trade him. He'll probably just, if he's not traded by training camp, I would imagine he won't show up. Not necessarily as a holdout, but just to avoid, I mean, they would probably tell him not to show up. You would think this will be settled within the next couple of weeks, certainly before opening night, on October 16th. All right, let's take a quick break so I can talk about DraftKings. Basketball season is right around the corner, and we have partnered up with DraftKings.com to bring you a RotoWire 6-month membership for free. Here is how that deal works. Go to RotoWire.com/DraftKings, sign up for a new account, and make a deposit of at least $10. That's right, then you'll get 6 months of access to all the tools and sports on RotoWire.com, which includes DFS lineup optimizers, weekly rankings, premium articles, full season draft software, and much more. All of that for $10, which you can then enter into contests to potentially win even more money on DraftKings.com. We're excited to bring you this deal. If you want access right away, go to rotowire.com/DraftKings and follow the instructions. Eligibility restrictions do apply. New DraftKings users only. See DraftKings.com for details. I had a couple other things I wanted to get to before we dive into what we would like to change about the NBA, but we'll scrap that for now and just get right into it. So This is going to be relatively unstructured. I just asked you earlier this week, come up with a list of things you would like to change about the NBA if you were in charge. Anything related to the league, whether it's rules, whether it's presentation, appearance, you know, anything pertaining to the NBA, what would you change? I came up with a list of my own. We'll just kind of go back and forth. Some of them are more serious than others. We won't spend too much time on the non-serious ones, but a few of these we'll dive a little deeper into. So I'll let you lead this off.
All right. Okay, so I'm just going to start with, would you prefer me to start with just sort of officiating stuff that's like pretty basic and like self-explanatory, or would you prefer me to start with sort of big picture type of stuff?
I want you to start wherever you want. We can kind of go every other. I think, you know, don't feel like you have to just read
okay,
me your list.
Sure. The first one I have is add a fourth referee and eliminate all instant replay.
Okay.
Because I just hate, there's nothing I hate more, especially when it comes to basketball, but with all sports, like with basketball, when you get to the final, like 5 minutes of a close game, it's just so brutal. And it's just like, I'm never going to like turn it off. And they probably know that, but
exactly.
It's just, the instant replays, I don't care. Like, I really don't care if the call is right or wrong. I just want the game to keep going. And I think you add a fourth replay so that you kind of have, you almost have one official at the opposite end of the court at all times. And then you have the other three mm-hmm. really kind of zoned in on everything. And you're going to miss some calls. I just think it would really, really improve the flow of the game. And I care way more about that than the calls. And it's not like all the replays end up being turned over the way they should. Mm-hmm. So if you're already missing calls with replay,
yep.
I think it's just going to even out if you get rid of replay. Yep. So I that would be my first change.
On the whole, I think replay has been positive. I think for the most part, they get calls correct on replay, certainly not even close to 100%. But you have to weigh the value of how many close games you watch throughout the year where, you know, you're really into it. It's 105-105. And then there's a 3.5 minute long review that has two separate commercial breaks. You lose the complete flow of the game. Like the feeling of the awful intensity, like even the amount of times when there's a close call, like a, you know, a contested rebound that tips out of bounds with like 2.2 like, seconds left.
Whose finger did it go off? Like,
right.
I don't care. Like, I don't even care if you get it wrong. Just I think the game going.
We keep getting deeper and deeper into it where, you know, like, I think five, 10 years ago, a play like I just mentioned, you know, a tie game, somebody misses a shot, the ball, you know, tips out of bounds, the ref makes a call right away. Let's just go. Let's just do it. Let's play the game. And now, I think once you replay that once, every coach has that in their mind, and they should ask for the replay. Like if they're going to give you a replay and you're not the team who got the ball, you're not going to fault the coach for wanting a replay.
Right.
And for some reason, all it takes is a player looking at the ref and making that like swirly motion with their finger, and then the refs are just kind of obligated to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say abolish it completely. I think there are still a handful of plays that you would want it for. I think maybe under 2 minutes in the fourth quarter only. Something
see,
like
that's
that.
When I want it the least. Like, that's when I want the
see,
game
I agree,
flow
but then
to be the best. And I'm just going to throw my second rule change in here that is very much connected to this. Zero commercial breaks over the final 3 minutes of the game.
Sure.
So, like, all I want is just basketball back and forth. There can be free throws.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any stoppages that aren't right. timeouts. And I don't want any of the timeouts to be commercial timeouts. They should all be, like, 20-second timeouts. That's what I want the final 3 minutes to right. just be as intense as possible, as free flowing as possible. And we just never get that. And with all the stoppages, it just always just turns into such an isolation right. game. And I'm not sure it definitely still would be very isolation heavy late in games. But I think if it was free flowing and there weren't all these stoppages, maybe we see some more interesting basketball.
I agree. And I would eliminate TV timeouts. That's something that'll never happen.
Right. No, I mean,
the NBA has already eliminated some of the timeouts. Like it was getting to the point where any close game, timeouts were never a factor because teams had so many that there was never a point. Like, one of the things I like about college basketball is that there are a lot of times where you know, a team makes a basket to go up two with 5 seconds left. You just have to get it and go. Like, that never happens in the NBA. Teams always have a timeout, always set something up. And like that, like you said, the flow of the game is what makes that so fun. And, you know, one of the better, you know, I would say the best game that I've ever watched, Game 7, 2016 Finals, one of the things that made that such a good game, the last 5 minutes of that game, there was not a stoppage, I don't think, until LeBron got fouled on that dunk attempt, which we'll get to later on my list. but, I mean, it was terrible basketball. Neither team scored for, I think, right. 3 minutes? But it was so much fun because there was no stopping. It was a miss on one end, miss on the other end. But, like, there was no timeouts. There was no commercial breaks. And, like you said, you lose the feel of these big games, especially late when, you know, you're just stopping every 2 minutes. And, no, I couldn't agree more with the timeouts. I think let's eliminate timeouts altogether.
I'm not trying to be completely unrealistic. Like, I know you have to have all the commercials and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the way soccer does it, where just all the commercials are in a super long halftime, and then it's the halves. There's no commercials going. And, I mean, we're just moving to more and more advertising, like on jerseys, like on the court and all that stuff. So I feel like there can be a way to kind of just cut down. But especially just late in games, like there's nothing worse than when there's like 3 commercial breaks over the final, like 3 minutes of a game.
I don't even mind what the NFL has done recently. And I think baseball too, with like putting the ads, kind of splitting the screen, you know, where it's 3/4 game and then an ad while you're watching a timeout or something like that. I'm totally okay with that. That's to me, that's so much better than going to a full commercial. Okay. Number one on my list, backboards. Make them shatterable. There has not been a shattered backboard in the NBA in 25 years.
Nice.
That used to be something, I mean, probably a little bit before my time, obviously. But you watch old highlights of Shaq, Bryant Reeves, Darvin Ham.
Right.
You know, backboards seemed to be shattering at an alarming rate back then. Daryl Dawkins, Sean Kemp. It's not even a possibility anymore. Like, what sparked my rage with this was I saw a photo. The Bucks tweeted out a photo of Ersan.
I know the photo you're
playing
talking
about. Yeah, right. The photo. Playing for Turkey. And he's just, I mean, it's a great, great photo. One of the all-time, kind of one of those photos that I think will become iconic.
It's like that the overhead of like that Muhammad Ali fight. Where
right.
The guy,
like Jordan that. And the dunk contest. It's on that level, the catch, stuff like that. And I'm like, the backboard doesn't appear to be in any peril. The rim is barely moving. I think we bring it back. I think we bring back the, you know, I think it's called tearaway rims or whatever it is now. Like, no, go back to the old ones where if you dunk it hard enough, that thing's coming down.
Yeah. And I mean, you could kind of use this season of ACC basketball as kind of a test run for some of the new equipment. You could let Zion.
Exactly.
Now's the time, right before
he gets in the league. Yeah. And back then it used to be a technical foul if you shattered the backboard. Kind of messed up. I feel like it should be a technical if you don't shatter the backboard.
An extra free throw, like, because you shattered it.
Yeah, it was like, so this guy, like, tractor trailer just bulldozed to the rim against Ball State, brings down the entire backboard, and you're going to penalize him for this?
This does kind of run counter to my idea of not stopping the flow of the game, but I would let it slide for a backboard.
Are you just going to play through it?
And I wouldn't want them to be super shatterable. I would want you to really have to earn it. You know,
I'm talking like once a year it happens, maybe twice.
Sure.
Like, maybe 3 times a year.
Like 2 to 3 times a year.
Right. Yeah, we're not having shattered backboards like every
on a good year. Like, yeah, like kind of like a perfect game in baseball. Like,
right.
You know, you're going to get
some
them.
Years
yeah.
you just don't have yeah. one. Yeah. Right, exactly. I'm glad we're on the same page here. and as an aside to this point, I want to eliminate hanging on the rim as a technical foul and eliminate taunting as a foul.
Oh, I will co-sign those immediately. We don't even have to discuss.
Like, especially remember when LeBron dunked on Jason Terry?
Yeah, sure.
One of the best moments of my life.
You've
personally.
Never brought that up to me, but I
make a point to watch that clip probably about once every 2 weeks, just as a reminder. Yeah. He got a technical just for kind of glancing at Jason Terry after that.
No, like, that's
not
good.
That can't happen.
No, that's no good.
Okay. What's next on your list?
I'm just going to do... I'm going to do just 4 of these in a row. They're
all right, rapid fire.
They're fouls that I kind of have an issue with. So clear path foul. I hate the way it's enforced.
This is on my list.
Like,
as well.
It's very, very easy to tell when a guy had a clear path, and I want it to be 2 free throws and the ball. Like, I hate the clear path foul. Like, let the guy go throw the dunk down.
I agree with you. two free throws on the ball, fine. I would even say, like, make it a flagrant one or something. Sure. Some, yeah. Not like a, you know,
we need
not
to
like
discourage that type of behavior.
Right. Yeah. Like, don't. Yeah. I mean, you can't, you have to, you can't just have a player, like, I'm thinking not even clear path, but even like player yeah. gets a rebound and like a player just slaps at
the
him at the opposing free
the
throw
way
line.
The rules currently defined, right. It's so many times where there's mm-hmm. what I consider a clear path foul and they rule it as not a clear path foul. Right. And it's just common sense. Like, was the guy going to go down and throw it down mm-hmm. or not? Like,
well, I have good news for you. The NBA is actually changing that this year.
I'll believe it when I see it. And, this kind of goes into my next point. They need to be more diligent about trying to eliminate those James Harden BS shooting yep. fouls on the rip throughs. And I know that they said last year they were going to try to like cut down on those.
I think there were more last year.
I don't know if I've ever seen more of them than I did last season. My
total botch job.
My rule for all of that would just be don't call anything. Like when James Harden tries to do that, when Chris Paul, when Lou Williams, whoever tries to do that,
right.
just let, don't.
Well, do and every it. Now and like, then they do call go. Nothing. And, you know, it happened to Curry, I think, in the finals a couple times. Like, that happens enough times, they'll just stop doing it.
It's, right.
It'll yeah, be like flopping, I think. Yeah, you know, like, remember, we had the same discussion 5 years ago about flopping. It was like, this is an epidemic. We can't do anything to stop it. Flopping is not as much of an issue now as it was 5 years ago. It's not even close.
My next point. Eject any player who flops, and we can call this the Marcus Smart rule. I've seen him do this like at least three or four times where it's just outrageous, like outrageous flopping. Like, and sometimes he gets like the foul for it. Sometimes he doesn't. Like, just eject him immediately right. and kind of err on the side of ejecting. Like yeah. there's a difference between a guy taking a charge or trying to take a charge and the stuff that like he does where he just goes flying off of like elbows that didn't yeah, even right. hit him, you know?
That's where we need instant replay because it's always clear on the replay.
I mean, but you know the guys that do mm-hmm. it and you can just eject them right away. And then my final one, just kind of along these lines, is I want the officials to be a bit more heavy-handed in handing out technical fouls to players and coaches who argue about every single call. It's pretty much always the stars and like the same handful of coaches, but you know, I'm all for, you know, during free throws, the player goes up to the referee and like they have a like a civil conversation about like what did I do, what did you see, like that type of thing. But when as soon as the whistle gets blown, there's like a 20-second like temper tantrum and we like have a big stoppage because of it, like just insta-tee mm-hmm. and it would just eliminate, you wouldn't, if you did that, it would get eliminated really quickly. I mean, we play plenty of basketball, like there's not, nobody's like arguing. I mean, maybe we'll play a team where there's like one guy that's just complaining about everything, mm-hmm. but it's not rampant at all in like a lot of different levels of basketball. And then it just like in the NBA, there's like a lot more freedom to kind of complain about stuff. And the reason why I hate it is because it's never once has it resulted in like a call getting overturned. Like
never in the history of basketball ever.
So why are we allowing it? It's a bad look for everyone.
Yeah, no, I know, you know, tensions kind of reached a fever pitch on this, you know, refs versus players last year. And I think players were getting frustrated, you know, with like double standards, I guess, where, you know, you would hear over and over, Draymond can say whatever he wants, but if I say something, I get teed up. But I think they're just, it's easier said than done, obviously. And there's a lot more at stake in an NBA game than there is a Madison City Rec League game. But there's the verbal like, abuse has gotten way out of hand.
And it's
way
not, out of hand. You're not accomplishing anything. That's no, the thing. Like right. if I get like being competitive and like being really fiery and like mm-hmm. doing everything it takes to win, but you're not doing that okay. by doing it, you know?
Okay. So I agree with you on that. I had a note, I'll just do this real quick on texts and like flagrant ones. Cool it on those. Not as they relate to refs, but we're getting to the point where players are like fighting for a loose ball, you know, and you can somehow pick up a flagrant one while you're on yeah. the ground rolling around. Like they're handing out flagrant ones for anything yeah. now. Like it's devalued what a flagrant one should actually be.
Agree.
I mean, I have plenty of complaints about how the NFL is refereed.
Sure.
But if there's one thing they do well, it's I don't think they don't throw, you know, like after the play penalties unless you really light someone up or you've hit someone in the head. Yeah. Like there's scuffles after almost every like a kickoff yeah. return. Like somebody makes a tackle. And there's always like a little shoving yeah. match and they never throw a flag because that's just how it works. It's
in the
sports.
NBA, if there's like for more than like a split second, two guys like kind of push each other.
Right.
And it's like instant, well, offsetting.
Didn't Tim Duncan get ejected for like staring at a ref from the bench once? Like stuff like that. Like you're devaluing the flagrant one. Like save it for when there's an actual scuffle.
Yeah. Save it for when they earn it.
As long as there's no violence being, you know, perpetrated, let it go. Okay. Uniforms. Unlimited throwbacks. Every year the league only, they like pre-decide which teams get to wear throwbacks, which throwbacks they are. Every year it's those despicable Hickory High School uniforms for the Pacers, which are god-awful. Every team should be able to wear throwbacks whenever they want, even in the playoffs. I don't care.
So I have a similar one, but mine is just every team returns to the uniforms they wore in the 95-96 season.
Sure. I have here the league needs to force the Pistons to go back to their late 90s uniforms. Yeah. No choice. Yeah. They just have to.
I mean, that everyone, or maybe just let every fan base before every season vote on which uniforms are going to be their team's uniforms for that year. You know, like something like that. Because
think of
most uniforms have gone in the wrong direction by quite a way.
I agree. So this is something that's been happening in the MLB the last couple of years. Do you think that this Players Week would work in the NBA? Has it worked well in baseball? It seems like it has. Players seem to be.
I think it's super corny.
I think it is too.
I think the players like it, but I mean, the players like it because baseball's just ruled with an iron fist in terms of like what you can and can't wear on like your uniform. And I mean, I guess most sports are kind of like that, I guess. But
I guess not much would change.
I don't really care about that. Like, I mean, if the players want it, it's fine. It doesn't really change anything. Yeah. I want the best uniforms to be worn by teams.
Speaking of uniforms, I have a sub point to that. Let players wear t-shirts under their jersey. Right now you can only wear one if you have a shoulder issue and it's always the wrong color for some reason. Like I want that Delonte West St. Joseph's look, you know, big, big undershirt. If you want to wear that, wear that. I think players should be able to wear whatever accessories they want within reason, you know, probably shouldn't let Melo play in a hoodie. Probably shouldn't let, you know, JR, like, I don't even know what he would, sunglasses,
he play skins?
I think, I think LeBron, if he was allowed, LeBron would play a game with earbuds in. There's really no doubt about
that.
If Kelly Olynyk wants to play in that backwards hat that he keeps being cited in this summer, sure, let that go.
Sure.
But no, I mean, on a more serious note, like, let him wear a Supreme sleeve if they want. I get that Nike has branding rights and things like that, but we're already waiving that with shoes. Like, just let it go all the way.
Yeah, I'm fine with. Okay, I'm fine with any of this.
I'll run through a couple quick ones of mine. I've said this on the pod many times. This would be my first move if I ever am named commissioner. Fingers crossed. If a player passes to someone and they are fouled on a shot attempt and they make both free throws, that should count as an assist.
Nice.
You got to make both. But if they make both, that should count as an assist.
Can you get a half assist?
No. Okay. If they have to make all of the free throws in a given set. So if you're fouled on like a skip pass three, you have to make all three free throws. Okay. Then that player gets an assist. I think that's pretty straightforward. I don't think that's too much to ask.
I'm all about that.
Free for all court designs. The Bucks got shut down a couple years ago when they wanted to do the year that they changed their uniform. So I guess 3 years ago already. They wanted to do like a black themed court where the majority of the court would have been black, would have looked awesome.
Right.
If you want to look at a picture, like University of Central Florida did this a couple years ago and it looked really cool. The league has gotten more relaxed on this. You know, Utah had that court with, the gradient colors kind of looking like the rock formations or whatever that was supposed to be. But for the most part, courts are pretty boring. Like, you know, I think this kind of goes with the way of where the NBA is going. So many people are into 2K. You always see those crazy creative courts on there. I mean, you don't have to get that insane, but if the Knicks want to make their court primarily blue, let them do it. You know, just more freedom with something like that. That to me is just pretty harmless.
Sure. Unless it's going to look terrible.
Well, like, as long as you're not obscuring like the lines and things like
that. There needs
to
be someone in the league office with really, really good taste that can okay everything because,
that would be me.
Yeah, I think you could.
That's part
you could
of the
do
deal
that.
Here.
Right? Yeah, they have to hire you immediately.
More than happy to step in. Okay, a little more serious. I like this idea. This is not an original idea by any means, but I like the idea of playoff teams being able to choose who they play in rounds one and two. So
yeah.
I want to keep conferences. I don't want to overreact and say that you know we should just abolish those. But if you're the one seed, you pick who you play in round one. If you're the two seed, you have next pick, three next, you know, so on. And then in round two, you reseed again, where the highest remaining seed gets to pick who they want. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be great.
I see no downside to that because you're just giving more incentive for whatever team gets picked by the one seed to go and beat that team.
So I'll just do, I'll rattle off some of mine that are very closely related to that. No conferences. I'm no conferences only just because I want the 16 teams with the best record to get in. Like I don't see what's controversial about having the 16 best teams be the 16 playoff teams.
I agree. It's just reactionary because the West is good now.
But it won't always be. I know there's going to be a time when the East is better, but then I still want more East teams to be in. Like I'm not, this isn't a West versus East thing. This is just a let the 16 best teams in. I was going to say, reseed after each round, but I like your idea more of like that you're saying reseed, but I like the idea of teams getting to pick who they play.
Right. Like if you're the one seed and you sweep round one, you have to, you know, you might want to wait it out and see what happens in game seven of this other
series.
There
are so many matchups make the series, right? So like if you're the eight seed and you know that you just own the six seed and like they have no chance against you, you should be able to play them instead of the eight seed. But here's one wrinkle I have is the first round is a best of three series. The rest are best of seven. I know the NBA is never going to go for that because you're eliminating TV games, but there's a couple reasons I want it. First, like nobody cares about watching teams as great as the Warriors play some crappy eight seed. So just those series should just be over as soon as possible before anyone gets hurt. But you're also opening the door for some upsets, and we just rarely see upsets anymore. Like there's nothing cooler when like it almost never happens, but every decade or so an eight seed will beat a one. That's awesome to me. I mean, seven seeds beating two, like that's, if you're the two seed or the one seed, I don't feel bad for you if you get beat by the seven or eight seed. So it's just, it'd be more fun to kind of have that be a legitimate possibility.
How would you structure the home away? Would it be home away home for a three game series?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't hate that. I mean, I think I would go to five games maybe instead of three. Seven is a little much. I mean, a 1-8 rarely goes past game five anyway.
Right. And it's just not that fun to watch.
Right. I agree. I mean, it is fun. I will say like those 3-6 and 4-5 series are always a lot of fun, but
sure.
You're basically throwing away the 1-8 and the 2-7.
If we're also doing the 16 best teams get in,
right,
then you're going to have a bit more gaps there.
Sure.
I want the NBA to move the franchises in New Orleans, Charlotte, and Memphis to Vancouver, Seattle, and Las Vegas.
What? Come on, I thought about doing this, but that's not fair. I think the Pelicans in New Orleans.
Why? They don't draw. They're like, their Vancouver uniforms are terrible. Vancouver, they don't draw.
Vancouver got good uniforms, so that's a good point.
Vancouver's awesome. Vancouver's just a sweet town. I want like more teams to be like outside of the U.S. Like, I mean, the U.S. has plenty of teams, but the airline stuff wouldn't work for most places, but it would work fine for Canada. Mm-hmm. And I think the NBA is just so popular now that if they kind of did, because you don't, like, I don't want expansion. I just want to move these teams from these crappy markets to better markets where they can take, you know, good quality NBA players and not do some sort of expansion crap.
Yeah, I thought about expansion as well. I mean, Seattle for sure needs a team, whether that means expansion or whether it means moving someone. I just don't think there's like an obvious moving candidate right now.
Charlotte.
But it's not like, I mean, Charlotte, North Carolina is a very,
they have like all these college hoops teams. That's fine. There's plenty of basketball there.
All right. Well, you're going to have to talk to Michael Jordan about that.
I also think they should take away the Hornets from Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That I didn't even need to put that on the list.
Just step
that's
in.
Just happen.
You know, Michael Jordan's,
you'd be sensitive about it.
Like it's not a Donald Sterling type of thing, but it's a different type of thing that
it's
is
definitely not a Donald
still
Sterling.
Still serious and something that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, Michael, take a seat. Why don't you sit down? I want the NBA to do the MVP vote after the playoffs. I discussed this a couple weeks ago on the pod. If you look back in recent history, I think quite a few MVPs would be different if you did the voting after the playoffs. I think certainly Russ 2 years ago, Curry in 2015-16, you know, Harden last year, maybe it ends up going to LeBron. But I mean, a lot of this is just me being a little upset that LeBron didn't win these MVPs that he should have. I mean, it's clearly geared toward you know, certain players. But I think almost always there's some second guessing with the MVP, you know, even as soon as like two rounds into the playoffs, you know, especially with Westbrook's case, people were already, you know, kind of regretting those votes. I don't know if there's ever been a case that was quite that bad. But I don't really see any reason not to do that.
Last year with Al Horford, everyone wanted to give Al Horford the MVP, but they couldn't because the playoffs had already started.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Right. I mean, it would have been very clear. It was down to Horford and LeBron by the end of it. I also want to do the award show the Saturday after the finals. So, you know, I mean, not if the finals end on Friday, maybe you do it the following Saturday, something like that. But you can't have the award show was like way after the season, you know, to the point where it just kind of came out of nowhere. None of the key players really showed up. Like LeBron didn't even going like, do it soon enough after that. Everything's fresh in your mind. Have it in LA. I mean, it was just outside LA last year. So they're already halfway there. You got to, I mean, I have written here, like get the players involved. Like, you know, obviously they're trying to do that. At the end of the day, you need to make it something that the players want to go to. I mean, the players love going to All-Star Weekend. I don't know, you know, what you have to do to get the players there. Maybe get the NBA PA on board, stress the importance of, you know, what this event could mean. Obviously, you blow it out. You get all the big names to host, to perform, which they've already done a pretty good job of. And then the other thing kind of in this is I think you need to get players to vote honestly for the postseason awards.
How are you going to do that?
I mean, it the NFL, for example, every year they do this, NFL Network does the NFL 100, and like players take it very seriously. They make it into a big 10-part show on NFL Network, and players are interviewed and talk about it. They tweet about where their spot is. Every year in the NBA, SI comes out with their list, ESPN does their list, SB Nation does their list, and all players do is just complain and say how nobody knows anything. Like, and then when they get the opportunity to have their voice heard, they just mess around and vote Boban Marjanovic,
right,
you know, for the All-Star game and things like that. I don't know how you incentivize it. Obviously, you can't really penalize the players, you know, for not taking it seriously.
But I would argue that the players should not get to vote at all.
Well, I'm not saying it should count for, like, you know, the real MVP or whatever, but, like, let them have some way of voicing who they think the best players are, whether it's an NBA 100, whether it's, you know, whether they do want to actually get involved, you know, and have a real say in who wins the awards. I think there's a lot of...
If you made it into, like, a big... If you basically just copied what the NFL does, yeah, I think they would take it seriously because they would want, like, it would matter who finished like 15th. It would matter who finished 25th. Like, so, it's honestly kind of surprising now that you say that they haven't done that because NBA TV needs all the programming we will also
be getting to that. and this is like point, you know, like one F now, I guess, on this original idea, but I think you'll agree with this. Abolish positions in all NBA. At the very least, man, cut it down to like forwards and guards. Just the center position has been a thorn in the side of everyone who likes the NBA and cares about all NBA. So just get rid of that.
Get rid of the center position.
Sure. Get rid of all positions. All right, what do you got next?
All right, I have a few draft-related things. I'm just going to do them all in one. Eliminate lottery odds. Every non-playoff team has the exact same odds to win the first pick. Every player who has graduated from high school is eligible for the draft. Any player who does not sign with the team, regardless of whether they are high school senior or college junior, is eligible to enroll in college or return to college the following season.
I have that almost to a T. Yeah, I completely agree. You know, there's this belief that if we eliminate the age rule, then it's going to ruin college basketball. I think I liked college basketball better before the age rule was implemented. I think right now college basketball has turned into two very like stark differences in teams and types of players. There's the one and done freshmen that are really fun to watch. Grant, like, I'm not saying I don't want to see Zion Williamson and Kevin Durant and Carl Towns play college basketball because it was really fun.
Throwing Zion in that
well, yeah, company. I mean, he probably wouldn't be at Duke right now if the rule was implemented. I'm just saying, like, it's fun to see those guys for a year, but it completely throws off like the model of college basketball. You know, like those teams rarely win. You know, you still need upperclassmen. I would rather those guys just go and be a star rookie in the NBA than get 1 year of them in college where you're like, I wish we could just get 4 years of this guy, you know, or even 2 years. I don't like the idea that if you go to college, you have to stay for X number of years.
No,
I don't like that at all.
I think that's terrible. I just want there to be as much
sort of freedom on the player's part
yeah.
as possible. And, you know, you're never going to fix the lottery system and the draft system perfectly, but I couldn't really think of a better way to just really improve it than to just eliminate any advantage for being worse. Like, mm-hmm. I know there are even some people that think, like, the team that wins the championship should get the first pick, but I'm definitely not for that. I just don't want there to be incentives.
That's
to
terrible.
Like, you don't you shouldn't incentivize
this is the worst idea I've ever heard.
So seeds like 1 through 14 or lottery odds 1 through 14, like, it there shouldn't be any incentive to be 14th. There shouldn't be any incentive to be like to miss the playoffs sure. by a game so sure, you sure. get like rewarded. Like, they should all just be in the same bin mm-hmm. because then everyone's theoretically trying at least somewhat. I right. mean, you if you're a bad team, you know you're not making the playoffs. Like, the Suns this year, they can do everything in their power to try to win right. as many games as possible. They're not making the playoffs. They're still going to have the same odds as if they just, you know, made a yeah. mockery of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally against that. I like the lottery as it is. I mean, I'm willing to acknowledge that it's certainly not perfect, but I think it gets the job done for the most part. It's not like the worst team wins the lottery every year.
I just hate the and I mean, this is, you know, I know we rarely talk fantasy on this show, but
yeah, I'll bleep this out.
But like, there's nothing worse than like the final, like, you have a player in like the final 6 weeks of the season, you know that they're just going to sit like a random game here and there because their team's trying to tank. Like, there should be no reason.
Well, that's part of the reason the league wants to curb this is because they want fantasy to take off. And
right.
this is something that's working against it.
I don't see like what's so bad about the team with the 10th worst record getting the number one
but
pick.
But like, what if the Nuggets got the number one pick? You know, like,
that'd be awesome. I think that'd be awesome.
But that doesn't help the overall structure of the league.
I think it does.
I think what if the Hawks got the 14th pick? Like, they're just,
I don't care. I don't care about the Hawks being bad.
Look, this, like, isn't about the Hawks. But.
To me, like, parity is just this word people throw out that yeah. is never going to happen. There's never going to be parity.
No.
Like, so just who cares? Like, when the Magic got Shaq, that was awesome. When the Spurs got Tim Duncan, that was awesome. Like, it's not the worst right. thing in the world when a good
but
team.
But it's not like those teams won 60 games that year. I mean, the Spurs were terrible the year before they got Duncan.
Yeah, because Dave Robinson missed the whole year.
Sure. But so, like, yeah, because they finished with a bad record.
But it wasn't, like, if the Nuggets got the number one pick, that would be basically the same thing to me in terms of the overall structure of the league that as the Spurs or the Magic getting those picks.
I guess, but, you know, Denver would be coming off a 47-win season where they missed the playoffs on game 82.
I'd love it if the Nuggets got to add Luka Doncic this year. Like, that would be great for the league.
Fine. Okay, a couple more ideas. I have force a team to sign Monte Ellis. He didn't play at all last year. I think that one kind of goes without saying, so we don't have to talk too much about it. With Puma, like, kind of coming out of nowhere and just signing everybody out of this rookie class, I think the NBA itself should do what it can to bring back And1 and Dada as rivals to Puma. I think if Puma can make a resurgence, it's kind of lame, to be honest, that neither of those are well represented outside of Lance Stephenson. All-Star Weekend. Eliminate conferences when it comes to voting. I mean, this is an issue every year. It was probably even more pronounced last year when so many good players in the East kept getting hurt and we were just like going down the ladder of Goran Dragic, Kemba Walker. Well, there are very good players in the West who are just sitting this out. No conferences. You know, the fact that we don't even play conference versus conference anymore makes it ridiculous that we still divide the votes by conferences. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a 2-on-2 tournament. Okay. I know that it would be tough to find participants for this. I think you have to put up a lot of money as a prize.
Yeah.
Players can team up either with a teammate or find someone else in the league. If you have a buddy, if you're LeBron and you want to go play with Paul George for this thing, do it. Have a very competitive 2-on-2 tournament.
You could get sponsors would be lining up to pay like $50 million to the winner of that thing.
Yes.
Like,
that's
would be
probably a little much, but yeah, like, I'm talking multi-million dollars.
Yeah, there would
be
no difficulty at all in getting that money.
Exactly. Like, imagine like a Durant Curry versus LeBron Kyrie for $20 million at halftime of the rookie sophomore game.
I mean, imagine DeJounte Murray, Trey Lyles versus,
probably what it would be in the first couple of years while you're getting it off the ground.
I'd still watch. That'd be great.
Get rid of the skills competition. Yep. I've been beating that drum for a long time.
Obviously.
More dunkers in the dunk contest. Every year, I always get really excited for the dunk contest, and it's been pretty decent in recent years, I will say. but it just ends like abruptly. All of a sudden you see it's down to two guys. Somebody misses a dunk, and then all of a sudden Zach LaVine's holding the trophy. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a second, like that's it. Like, he missed that dunk, and that's just the end of the contest. So I want more dunkers, more rounds, more dunks per round. I think that'll result in higher quality.
I think that's the
more dunks.
That's the least realistic of all of our suggestions.
What? No, if you watch old dunk contests, there used to be like eight guys dunkers in the dunk contest.
They already can't find good.
They don't have to be good. Michael Finley wasn't good, and then I watched that clip all the time.
You just want more stuff for old you to be watching on Hardwood Classics like 20 years from now.
That's exactly correct. Okay. That's where most of these ideas are coming from. Okay. And then the last thing is televise the draft. That would probably happen this year. I think that should go without saying, the All-Star draft.
Oh, right.
If not this year, then next year.
Okay, so I have two more. Discontinue all testing for marijuana. No, I don't know how much they actually test, but I would just like, keep it above board. You know, it's fine. That's kind of the direction the country's headed anyways. Like, there's no need to just kind of hide in the closet and...
James Harden was in the studio with Meek Mill yesterday. I don't think they're testing for it.
Pretend stuff isn't happening. That's happening. It's fine. Yeah. Ban Kevin Hart from All-Star Weekend.
Oh, my God. Thank you for saying that. So, how did I forget that?
Yeah.
That should have been the first thing we touched on. God, thank you. So. I was in an Uber this past weekend, and the Uber driver was going on and on and on about how she paid like $400 to see Kevin Hart at the new Bucks Arena. And it was terrible.
Yep.
She said she was so excited, and it was the worst show she ever went to. So.
I would feel sorry for her, except, that's just kind of life's way of taking $400 from people that don't deserve the $400.
Okay. I have a few more. I'll just run through them quick. No more sideline interviews. When is the last time you've watched a sideline interview and either not felt bad for Doris Burke or thought to yourself, wow, those are some really good points? No. Never, ever. It's a waste of time. The coaches don't like doing it. It's a hindrance to the broadcast. It's never a good thing.
I'm with you.
Timber by Kesha and Pitbull. Permanent intro song for the playoffs, like intro video that they play on ESPN and ABC. I think that should have been my number one.
All right.
go back. This is a serious one. Go back to showing player intros for playoff games on the TV telecast. I think they stopped doing this in like 2014. I specifically remember they did it in the 13 finals when the Heat played the Spurs. Cause they used to show Ray Allen and Norris Cole doing this really weird, like high stepping routine. And that's when Seven Nation Army was really big for like the third time.
I love watching that stuff.
And it's really hard to find now. Like you can go back and find all like the old Jordan Bulls intros, and it's cool. It's like Goosebumps type of stuff.
Oh, you mean show it. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
they don't do that?
No, not anymore. No, they just, they go to commercial and then it's basically the tip. You know, I want to see the player intros.
I can get on board with
that. If you dunk on someone, you can't get called for a charge. If you complete the dunk, no matter how obvious it is, you can't get called for a charge. Certain players should have to take a lie detector while they do their post game interviews. Jordan Clarkson, I'm thinking of during the playoffs last year. Just kind of like a what are you thinking type of thing. retroactively award Ricky Davis his triple double, just kind of a lifetime achievement thing. Retroactively go back and make LeBron finish that dunk over Draymond at the end of game 7. let's see. And then my last, like, actually serious one, totally revamp NBA TV. We have an affiliation with NBA TV, so this is not any, this is constructive criticism.
Less RotoWire on NBA TV.
Well, more RotoWire. I was going to say 80 to 90% more RotoWire on NBA TV. One, put NBA TV games on League Pass. Like one of the best parts about League, they take the best game every night and you can't watch it for a service that you're paying for that the league owns.
That
is crazy.
An insane.
So that's number one.
Yeah.
Develop like an equivalent of NFL Red Zone for the NBA. And you probably only want this on busy nights. You're not going to run this on a Tuesday when there's 4 games. But there are those Monday, Wednesday, Fridays when there's 11 games, and 6 of them start at 6 o'clock, 5 of them start at 6:30. Obviously early in the night, you just kind of jump in game to game.
Yeah, so there's no commercials. And
right. Well, so I mean, you could even do the side box commercial for this.
Sure. But then you're also... you don't have to worry about like toggling during halftime. You don't have to worry about
when one game goes to commercial, you jump to another for the first half or so. You know, it's like, all right, let's check in and see what's going on in Indy, Charlotte, whatever. Once it gets to the fourth quarter, then it just functions like NFL Red Zone.
Yeah, and you can kind of like if
all the starters come out of one game, you probably go to another game.
I mean, the chances that you have six games that are all within 2 points with 2 minutes left is low anyway. I mean, and like we said, there are so many timeouts that there are opportunities to jump from game to game. Because I usually use League Pass on my laptop and then, you know, cast it to a TV or whatever. It's still a little clunky switching game to game. You know, it still has to load a little bit, and then you're behind in the stream. Like, having a channel that you could just flip on and really works as well as Red Zone does, you know, seems like kind of a no-brainer. I also think NBA TV needs to be a part of at least like the semi-basic cable package, because it, like, you have to get like the primo TV package to even get NBA TV. NFL Network doesn't come standard, but like most, or even like the second level cable package, will get NFL Network. Like, NBA TV is not accessible.
There's plenty of, I mean, that I agree with you on that. But there's plenty of complaints I have just about the NBA broadband, like that technology, like compared to like MLB's version of that, it's just night and day. It's like not even close.
Well, even NBA TV, the channel's offerings versus what MLB TV, like, we don't ever have NBA TV on in here unless it's a Hardwood Classic game.
It's kind of like they just gave it, they just stopped caring about it like 7 years ago, and like they're just with not the set, investing anything in it.
Well, like, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, it's lagging behind MLB TV and NFL Network by a ton. Like, we turn on NFL Network and it's like watching like ABC Good Morning America. You know, like, they have these really good morning shows that have highlights, discussion. Like, there's, with the way that the NBA is trending as a brand, like, there's really no reason that they haven't revamped NBA TV. You know, they just replay like the same thing for seven straight hours a lot of times. You have this huge archive of games. There's no attempt at a morning show. Like, something like The Jump should be on NBA TV every afternoon. And then I would, if I were them, I would just run, you know, game highlights from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. every night. I mean, I think at that point in the night, that's what people want to see. I mean, hopefully NBA TV is writing all these down as they listen to the RotoWire NBA podcast. Do you have anything else?
No, my last one was ban Kevin Hart from the All-Star Weekend. Okay. Which I'll just say again, just
say that
measure
again really, really loudly into the mic.
Ban Kevin Hart from All-Star Weekend.